Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, lead pastor, the Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
In John chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. We are talking about opportunities, part 2. At the first service, we considered certain fundamental opportunities we have as individuals. As an individual, you will have personal opportunities for your personal development. Education could be one of it. Where you work, there are opportunities given to us, and they inure to our personal benefit first, and then possibly our families, and then on and on, the community. It goes on and on. We also have community level opportunities that we take. There is a lecturer that I know, he was sponsored to do his first degree by his community. So there are community level opportunities that come to us, MISO level. Then there are also national level opportunities, of course. If for education, for instance, we can have funding or sponsoring your education to go and study abroad or something. Scholarships that come from the state. Praise the Lord. So there are important opportunities that come to us. Then also there are kingdom opportunities that are offered to us. Normally we look for personal opportunities, we look for community, national level opportunity. I mean, this change of government, you can see the level of lobbying that may be going behind the scenes to, you know, for people to be placed where they believe they can serve the nation. We normally don't look for, or we don't look forward to receiving kingdom opportunities. So in the church, when someone is called into church leadership, sometimes they have difficulty in their mind. Can I do it? Will I do it? Should I do it? We are not wired to accept or receive straight away kingdom opportunities. So it just disturbs us here and there. And then we get to that point where we don't embrace the opportunities that God brings our way. This morning we are going to consider kingdom opportunities, because every opportunity God gives to you as an individual, He has an interest in it. So question you would ask is, why is God interested in blessing man? God is interested in blessing man so that man will be useful to God's cause. So when we take that second part away, then everything becomes very earthly. We live in a mundane way, and life can easily flip out of hands. So here Jesus was there when a leader of the Jew came to him. His name is Nicodemus. He came to him and said, we know you are a great teacher, a powerful man, and you cannot do these miracles except the Lord is with you. Now, for someone coming to adulate you like that, you would think that Jesus will now, of course, Nicodemus was interested in the miracles that had been happening, and for Jesus being the vessel that is being spoken about, his mind should be on telling Nicodemus how much work he has done to come to that level to be able to do those miracles. And, you know, teaching the skills and what it takes for Nicodemus also to come to that level. Because clearly, you see that Nicodemus came with a desire, an agenda to possibly tap into the miraculous of Christ. And he came at night. You know, that name is now synonymous to private dealings, right? Nicodemusly. Came at night. But Jesus refused to focus on the miraculous. He brought a whole twist to the conversation. He said, Nico, even though you are looking at the miracles and I being the vessel, you know, being used for these miracles, I want to tell you that the most important thing is that you have to be born again. You have to be born again before you can enter the benefits of these miracles that you are talking about. This anointing that you are talking about. Whatever is beautiful in my life that you see, it is not possible in your life. It may be admirable, but it's not possible in your life until you qualify. And the qualification is that you have to be born again. When we have opportunities where we are the icing on the cake, when we have the applause, when we are at the center of attention, what is our focus for conversation? What does our mind tell us? What comes to mind? When that spotlight is on you, and these Brazilians and Mexicans and Africans and Europeans come around you and they are thrilled by your competence and the grace you have in that space, what do you see? Do you see yourself? Do you see the fact that I've climbed the ladder, I've gotten here, and you feel like there's a model you want to pass to them on how people get there? Even if there is such a model, what is the foundation of that model? You find out that the Illuminati would like to introduce you to their Illuminati. The Muslim would like to introduce you to Allah. Christians will talk about the school I have attended, the seminars I have done, you just focus on what is beautiful in their eyes. But Jesus said, you came talking about miracles, but I want you to know that you have to be born again. You need to receive the king before you can receive the benefit within the domain of the king. You are looking at the benefits within the... It says that we know that you are doing these miracles because God is with you. And the miracles were an advertisement for Jesus to be attractive in the eyes of Nicodemus. So by that attention and attraction, he came to Jesus. But Jesus refused to keep his focus on whatever was beautiful in his life. He put his focus on the important things. If we don't shift the focus from us to what is important, what is eternally important in the lives of people, for where God has brought us and for the things that he's put into our lives, we will be massive failure when it comes to the accounting, you know, variables of God. Because God has made you who you are so that you point people to him. Praise the Lord. It's not to point me. You say you sing powerfully. You say, oh yeah, when I wake up, I do my warm-ups. I do my... Really? People come and go. Christ is there. Same yesterday, today, forever. So when you have opportunity and God will give you a certain body type, that people will be really, you know, people, once you see that opportunity, say, wow, Rita, you are pretty. I pick it. Afa. Yes, they've taken the bait and there's no bad motive, no whatever, you know. Some women, when they are receiving compliments, they say, open me, leave this matter. Praise the Lord. Why has God made you the way he's made you? Why has he given you the capabilities he's given you? Why has he given you beautiful things that people can admire? in your life. What kind of conversations are you supposed to make with these things? Oh, wow. Oh, so you are the country director of this UN subsidiary body. Oh, yeah, by the grace of God. But you see, that door has opened. You say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know, you know. We met in Harvard. You know you are there because Christ has put you there. You know, people went to Harvard before you were born. The last time I was talking to one of my pastors here, lady pastors here, in a passing conversation, she just mentioned that the husband, me and the husband, we support Man U. So from time to time, we talk football. And we're talking, and then she mentioned the husband is an alumnus of Harvard. When she mentioned, I was still at my mother's breast. People went, don't come in front of that Harvard. If that Harvard makes you attractive, it's for you to pick a particular conversation. And the conversation is to let people know that left to your family alone, there is no way. So when now that door opens and they say, oh, you are Harvard alumnus. First class in tech. First class. That door has opened for you to let them know who has been the architect of your life. That you have no hand in the matter. That Christ, praise the Lord, has been the architect. So Jesus' main focus for conversation, when an opportunity came, when they say, oh, anointed man of God, was to point the people that you have to be born again. And someone is telling Pastor Francis, oh, wow. You know, recently I went somewhere and then the person was telling me, you ministered to me 20 years ago. 20 years, different age. And the prophecy, and say, wow, glory be to God. So how far? I'm just telling stories. I said, you have to be born again. 20 years. God used me to prophesy. It came to pass. And this is the state of your spirituality. You really need to be born again. This Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. But he still didn't know what it meant to be born again. You can be in church, singing in church, giving offering to church, doing kingdom business, and still you don't have Christ. Are you saved? Is the first question we should ask. Some people love church and God. So if they have to swear by a Bible or a Quran or whatever, they will prefer the Bible to any other thing. But it still doesn't make you saved. Your affinity for something, your alliance, your alignment to something does not mean that you are an insider. Sometimes you are just aligning. Praise the Lord. Are you saved? Jesus said, Nico, the miracles, they flow, but there is someone who makes them to flow. That person is Jesus. And if you are not born again, you can talk about it, but it will still not be your reality. So you tell me, okay, yeah, hard work will put you here, diligence at the foundation of it. If you don't have Jesus, when you get there, Christ will kill you. You won't last there. You won't last. If you want to last, if you want to, any fool can rise. But it takes real peculiar people to last. And to last is not by whim and caprice. Something must be holding you. Praise the Lord. And if you are a child of God, it should be clear to the world that you met Jesus. And he's changed your life. Praise the Lord. It has to show. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he came and announced. John the Baptist met Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Praise the Lord. So this is the opportunity God offers us. It's a kingdom opportunity. That you are beautiful. That you are intelligent. That you dress and someone says you are looking good, it's a kingdom opportunity. That you are working in a particular space and God is giving you fruitfulness, productivity. It's a kingdom opportunity to introduce Jesus to that space and the people in that space. Not to put the spotlight on your abilities. Because when people are asking you, what is your secret? They already have some variables in their heads. Is that not so? Yeah. But what do you say? It is a very serious mindset we need to begin to have. If we don't have it, you are a singer. You climb the stage and in your mind, I'm going to sing powerfully. But Jesus is not part of your mind. Jesus is not part of your mind. When all is said and done, what is the end game? The end game is what? Praise the Lord. End game is that we have Jesus and we can give Jesus. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, this man asked Jesus a question. Please go down in John chapter 3. He asked Jesus, he said that, hey, so if somebody is old, would that person enter into the womb of the mother a second time? And Jesus said, Nico, it's not like that. You have to be born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? What does it mean to be born again? You can be in church for a long time, and when you have opportunity to give Jesus to people, you don't know even what it means to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to give Jesus to your world? We have been in church for long. We have been in Christ for long. But what does it mean? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very quickly please, verse number 21. It said, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, this is the summary of what it means to be born again. That every human being on earth needs a savior. And Jesus offered to die for the sins of mankind. When he was dying for the sins of mankind, he was God, 100%. Came in the form of man to die for the sins of men. Because a spirit couldn't pacify, as it were, the anger of God. It had to be a man laying down, because that's the law of justice. It's life to take the anger of God away. So Jesus came, was given birth to by a human being, died without sin. He was without blemish. He went down. He knew no sin, died, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. He took our place so that we can take his place. Praise the Lord. He took our place of sin by substitution. He knew no sin, so that we can take his place. So, there's a substitution that went on. Jesus, who knew no sin, died. We receive him and we take his righteousness. That righteousness is imputed to us. Praise the Lord. So when you say you are a Christian, you have actually by faith, through grace, you have entered into the righteousness of Christ Jesus, because receiving him into your life means that he has carried your sins, the full payment of your sin, so that now you have received the full rewards of his righteousness as your nature. That's what makes you a child of God, born again. No more liable to condemnation because someone has paid and carried your sins away. So you are a free man, a free woman. No demon, no, God will not judge you, devil will not judge you. Because you do not carry what makes judgment, justice, wrath to put you down. You don't carry sin again, but carrying the righteousness of God. Say, I'm the righteousness of Christ. So this is what happened. And the scripture is saying that in chapter 10, that for people to receive this package of redemption in verse 15, 14 and 15, something must be happening. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Next verse. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So, for somebody to be born again, a person has to be sent who is a preacher, like I'm preaching right now. If preachers don't go, people in far lands sitting in darkness will never come to light. And we have been saved. Look at the great work Jesus did for us. So that now that he has left us to be his representation here, we ought to go as preachers and preach so that people will hear. He said, if you don't preach, they won't hear. If they don't hear, they won't believe. And if they don't believe, they cannot call on him to receive him. So many people are going to be condemned because they never heard. And one of the reasons why some people will never hear is that you did not take the opportunity God gave you to speak, to preach. You can't leave the preaching to the preachers, as it were in our time, pastors. No. We have all received Christ and we ought to preach. We have to preach. Praise the Lord. Look at this scripture. Let's stand and read the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and verse 19. Let's even read verse 20 first. Verse 20, verse number 20. You know, Jesus ascended. When he did his work, he went into heaven. And he left us here. 20 says that, now then we are what? I'm not hearing you. We're reading together. Now we are what? Ambassadors what? For Christ. Wait. He didn't even say we are ambassadors of Christ. He said we are active. Activist, campaigners, employees, ambassadors, not of, for. You know, sometimes you are off and you don't care. But when you are for, you are picked the spot. When you are for, it has a way of making you just say what you want to say, do what you want to do, because you are for. And when you are for, sometimes you don't see the wrongs. So we are not just of Christ. We are for Christ. This is an active agent who has picked the spot that, I mean, Jesus said, he said, either you are for me or you are against me. You can't be for the two sides. We are for Christ. Please tell somebody you are for Christ. You are for Christ. Or what are you for? Who are you for? Please ask them, because it's possible for somebody to be here and it's not for Christ. So ask them, who are you for? Are you for Christ? Said, now we are ambassadors for Christ. When Tiger Woods had issues of infidelity, he lost sponsors. Different kinds of sponsors he was a brand ambassador for. They dropped him. Drop. Wow. So he was playing the tennis. You think he's just playing ball. Sorry, golf. But sneaker company was paying him because he was for. And when you are for, there are some things you cannot wear. Imagine a brand ambassador for Nike wearing filler. That's a major breach. Because you have picked spot. So now that we are ambassadors for Christ, say, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. Say, I'm an ambassador for Christ. As you see me like that, you can start calling yourself honorable. You are a diplomat. You are a diplomat. As I see you, you are a diplomat of the highest order. That amen didn't come out at all. Verse 18 and 19 has cut our job for us. He said in verse 18, let's read together, one go. He said, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given to us what?
The ministry of reconciliation.
All things are of Christ, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. And now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So the same way the Lord brought us into his saving knowledge, he has now committed into our hands that we should now reconcile alienated men to Christ. Men who are cut off from Christ to Christ. That's a ministry of reconciliation, that in Christ we reconcile men to the Godhead. So that's our job now. That's our ministry. We are saved and given a ministry. That ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. It's reconciliation because sin has broken the relationship between man and God. And we stand in a place as ambassadors to bridge the two parties through the work Christ did by taking the sins of mankind and then allowing mankind to take his righteousness, so that now man can freely relate with God and then flow in his supernaturalness. We have that ministry. Please tell somebody, it is your ministry is called Ministry of Reconciliation. And how are you doing with it? Please. Ask them, this ministry you have, how are you doing? How are you doing? The most important thing in this ministry is in the next verse. It said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. In Christ, God was reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What God is doing right now is reconciling the world to himself through Christ. But he's not doing it all by himself. He's using man to do that. So he's giving us a ministry of reconciliation. Then in the reconciliation, what he's really also committed unto us is the word of reconciliation. That's called the gospel. The word of reconciliation. So when you have opportunity and someone is cursed and you say, oh, God has revealed to me that you are cursed. The first thing you do is not to break the curse of the person without the giving the person Christ through the word that will reconcile them to Christ. That automatically takes the curse away. So sometimes it's like the prophetic is important. The prophetic is important. You have become a malam. The prophetic is important. The prophetic is important. The prophetic is too much, you know, Africanism, African traditional religion. Your focus should be in the right place. When you are interested in breaking a curse from someone without reconciling them to the Lord, you have even left them worse off. Because the Bible says that the demon will go and come back. And when he's returning, he will come with 7 more wicked spirits. That's 8, another level. Why? Because the foundation is not there. It's Christ is the reason why a curse will not continue to land in the life of someone who was cursed before.
And that word, that gospel, the work of the Christ that Christ did, the salvation, the redemptive work that Christ did, is what you preach to the person that, boy, the freedom is in a person. When you have this person called Jesus Christ, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you tell of the story of what he has done for mankind. He laid down his life, took our sins, took our sickness, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And now, when you believe and receive him, you now have the blessing. He is the blessing. When he's in your life, the curse will not stand. You don't give olive oil and give our quanchere. Oh, you do this, you miss it. And what's a candle now? What the camphor to toha? Why do you own? How put an incense? You're not serious. If you say you are a preacher, what you give to people is Christ. If you say you are a Christian, what you give to people is what? Christ. You have a ministry of reconciliation. Then you have a word of reconciliation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will preach it to people. So the salvation of this world is our responsibility. You and I. As you are singing, we are singing about him. And our end goal is that people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do people know Jesus because of you? That's the question. Your whole existence here is to transmit Jesus to people. The work he did, that mankind has been saved, that work has already been done. And we need to sell it to people. This is the selling proposition. You need Christ. What do you need? Hey, Christ. Some time ago, they brought a lady to me. She was quite mentally disoriented. And when I prayed for her, a demon manifested. Boom, 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 boom. When the demon left, she became well. 10 years after, they brought her again. Same problem. Around the time that where they come from, they do their festival. So same demon had come, maybe even higher, troubling her. Powerful sister, well-educated. Prayed. When I said, you need Jesus. Oh, what you need is not prayer. What you need is what? Jesus. Or this your mind. After, if you don't receive Jesus, you become a psychiatric patient. The demon will come and take a dwell. Because you need an entity to be living inside of you. And it's either Christ is living in you or Satan is living inside of you. So when we meet people, what we want to do is that we want to give them Christ. Christ must be living in them, or else any help you are giving them is just a matter of time. That help is not sustainable, because only Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And only Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't have Christ. And we pray for people, people get healed, but they are not interested in having Christ. Why should we be interested in some of these things? We are here to do, to reconcile people. I saw something in this verse, also, in this chapter also. Let's just read it briefly, and then maybe we'll bring it to an end. Tell somebody, you have to give Jesus, oh, wherever you are. Give Jesus to people. Yeah. My family, when my family members call me Prof, they call me Prof, one day I told one of my siblings, I said, look, you have to receive Jesus. He said, oh, I said, I'm not the one who gave birth to you. I told him, I said, I'm able to help you because I'm receiving help from Jesus. I don't know what else. The best thing I can give you is my source. If you are not interested in my source, I'm wasting my time on you. Look at the scripture. It's beautiful. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, let's read together. One go. For we must all what? Oh, let's read together. One go, one go, one go. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has what done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also
are made manifest in your conscience. So he's saying that all of us here will one day appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Charlie, that day it will be serious. Now, when you have a normal presentation, how is it looking like? Or interview. See the preparation. And even that you go with a lot of anxiety. Small interview, that human beings are there. Human beings. Hey! He will prepare you. Some of you will not sleep until the interview is over. You're on the edge. Small presentation. For we must all appear. We must. Tell somebody it's a must. You can't be absent. You cannot be marked absent. You must. You have been subpoenaed. It's a bench warrant. We must all. Tell somebody something is coming. No, something is coming. Tell someone something is coming. Don't just be walking like that thinking that nothing is coming. We must appear. Yeah. So, you see, when we have opportunity to go out there to preach, I was telling the first service that our focus should not be preaching, don't drink alcohol, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery. Those ones are small matters. We preach Christ to the people. Receive Christ. He will take your sin away. Then he in you will now begin to nurture you on how to lose your appetite for the hookup. Lose your appetite for the pimping. Lose your appetite for the alcohol. Lose your appetite for the shisha. Lose your appetite for the 225. You just lose your appetite for a lot of things. Give them Christ. Leave the fornication. Just give them Christ. And then we're home. We are interested in giving Christ, reconciling people to God, because we will all appear. See where we are going to appear. This is not high court. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a party gathering. It's a judgment seat. It should make you think about your eternity and the eternity of other people. Praise the Lord. Whether you're a politician, you're a corporate worker, you're an entrepreneur, whatever you are, we will all appear before the... Okay, what is the essence of a judgment seat? Is it for love making? Look at someone and say, I'm looking forward to the day you stand before that seat. The only thing that will exonerate you is when you have the evidence of Christ in your life. If Christ is not in your life, the good you did for humanity will not count. It's not in evidence. It's just story. It's not in evidence. Their emotions don't count. I didn't do it, don't count. The evidence they want to see is, do you have Jesus? Are you saved? Where you were born, the citizenship you have, whether dual citizens, naturalization, whether everybody want to move to Canada, wherever, we will all come to one bowl and stand before God. You see the Togolese there standing before God. The Beninois standing before God. The Nigerian standing with the Nigerian. Yes. The Ghanaian and the Guyanan. We'll all be standing there. Are you from Ghana or Guyana? You say, Charlie. But through my ma. And then me who met you. And then you who made that. That scripture is great. But it teaches us something. Look at that. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Your husband cannot receive for you. You cannot receive for someone. You love your children, you can't receive for them. They can't receive for you. Everyone. It's an individual matter. It's a personal matter. That's why you work out your own salvation. Your own, not my own. Your own, your own, your own, your own, your own. Every single individual will stand and render an account to God for your soul. The opportunities to give your life to Christ, an opportunity to lead others to Christ. Things done in your body, according to that he has done. He's already died. He's made provision for us, whether it be good or bad. Look at the next. The next verse, is, we will read it in other translation so that the English will be clearer. It says, because of this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What is coming? It's a heavy terror. It's a very scary something. Knowing that that thing is coming and it's inevitable. It's imminent. It says that knowing that, we persuade men. What do? We persuade men. That's why you talk to somebody about Christ. They don't mind you. You find another way. You find another way. You pay school fees. You are persuading them. You want that Christ to enter. Because the terror that is coming is, hey, we persuade men, but we are... Please give me ESV and all those correct English, like more modern English, so that we will understand this thing. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God. And I hope it is known also to your conscience. Nobody can deceive God. What we are, you can't go and say, oh, let me call, sorry, I was in the keeper's house. Where is keeper's house? What is keeper's house? It's not in evidence. It's not recognizable. Only Christ. Paul said, I bear the marks of Christ. We have to see the mark of Christ on you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Christ in me. Greater is he that is in me. Jesus must be. Don't just be in church or you are around, you are seeing people going to perish. Terror is coming. Please, NLT or all those other ones, let's just read those ones because we like reading. Sooner or later, we all have to face God. Charlie, they didn't write the Bible at the right time at all. Ah, they should have written it our time. Like this one, you say, sooner or later, we will all have to meet, we will all have to face God. Chai. Yeah, that chai would have been there with an exclamation mark. Yeah, sooner or later, we all have to face God. Chai. Regardless of our conditions. Whether you marry, did they marry? Na me chen awariansa ma yenyamie juma ma for Christ. Regardless of your condition, he said, we will appear before Christ and take what's coming to us as a result of our actions, either good or bad. Say, take what is coming. Something is coming. Asembi riba, oriapa, ujinabia, woi. Asem kesiabi, riba riasi, abe bobo, na na na. He says he will melt the earth like shea butter. It will be melted. When you go home, try Vaseline on fire. And you see something is, tell somebody, something is coming. Tell somebody something is coming. What is coming is a heavy something. There is... And you see, nobody can stop it. Mystery also is that we don't know when. You can fake that you are prepared. No problem. He said, God will not be mocked. God will not be deceived. Look at the next. He says that, and
it will reveal your works. He said, that keeps us vigilant. You can be sure. He said, it's no light thing to know that we will all one day stand in that place of judgment. Wow. It's not a light thing. That's why we work urgently with everyone we meet to get them ready to face God. Are you working urgently, diligently with everyone you meet to prepare them and make them ready to meet God? Say, knowing what is coming. We are not joking. We are not playing. So this Paul that wrote this in, they will beat him. He will wake up and still go and work. Because what he saw was coming was more dangerous than any pain he was going through. More dangerous than any unemployment. More dangerous than the baby he's looking for. Are you here at all? More dangerous. Serious. Say, because of that, we work diligently, urgently, with urgency. We are not playing games. Oh, maybe, you know, she's a girl I can toast, so let me not show I'm a Christian. Let me not talk Christ. Wow. Are you serious? Are you serious? Urgency is part of the matter. We work urgently. Urgently. As you are playing games now, he's coming. Who understands what the scriptures are revealing to us today? Do you understand? Is it a small matter? So you don't need to have fear. You just need to, you have to have Jesus. At this time, you know, that means that all play must cease. If you don't have Christ, you need Christ. If people around you don't have Christ, you can't say you love people, you care for them, and you see this great danger coming and you don't announce. Wow. That's why he said, because one day all of us will stand before God in judgment. That is why we work urgently with everyone. Say everyone. Everyone. Everyone we meet to get them ready to face God. God alone knows how well we do this. But I hope you realize how much and deeply we care. Only God knows how well. There are many pastors here who are not interested in this. Many Christians, but he said, whether you are interested or not, only God knows how well you are doing it. I think at this point, I can even end the preaching. Only God knows how well. Please ask someone that, what do you think God thinks about you at this point in time? What do you think? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? What do you think is the mind of God concerning how you are working with this matter, knowing this thing that is coming? What do you think? What do you think? I'm not one of those pastors who tell you that actually car is not important, because bread and butter is important. We are on earth. You understand? But there is something deeper than that. When God has given you bread and butter, he is sustaining you here for a purpose, for a reason. Don't take your eyes off the ball. I can't be preaching here if I don't have life. Once Saturday night, dawn, I was praying when one pastor called me and said, I can't get my thoughts together. What is it? Something has happened. And the thing has just wearied him. He was getting depressed. As I was preparing my sermon, I was preparing his own for him. I'm praying with him. And as I was coming, I was praying with him, praying with him, praying with him, praying. He said, Pastor, the thing, it has overed me. In another city, we have to make arrangement for somebody to preach. So, the peace you have, Christ has given you this peace that you can put all your mental faculties together. Somebody could not put it together, so he couldn't preach that morning. You, God has ensured that you can put everything together. It's not for play, oh. In that morning, when we were looking for someone to preach, we were looking for somebody who had it together. God has given it to you together. And we see people, sometimes we see people perishing. In Nipa Bateho, why yet is a zombie? 225 in T. Now, you see, we are very funny people in this country. How we can allow something like this to sneak into our space? and they already have the intel. Until this thing blew up on TikTok, everywhere is running, chasing this thing. They know long time. They know long time. Me, I'm thinking that maybe it's a measure to deal with unemployment. Well, once you take your 225 now, you know who here? You know you be sleeping. You don't need to go anywhere. He's using the 225 to reduce unemployment. The employment they are not able to offer to the people. Over some money now, go your own. Now we are chasing everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. That thing is already there. We don't manufacture it in Ghana. How it comes into this country? And we know long time. We sit and people are wasted. For whatever reason, I don't know. It's a serious matter. But a day is coming. A day is coming. And it's coming for all of us. You and I have an opportunity. Sometimes, you know, we should have the boldness, but we don't have it. So the least you can do, if you cannot bring conversion to somebody through preaching, using the word of reconciliation, trusting God to convert them, the least you can do is invitation. The least you can do is what? It's invitation. It's to invite those people into an arena that will give them Christ if you could not do it directly. I'm not a doctor, but I can show you the hospital to go if you are unwell. Are you here at all? Some of your bosses are there. You will not even have the boldness to say, oh boss, let me talk to you about Jesus. But he can say, boss, I'm inviting you to church. Then we'll come and hear Pastor Francis preaching this thing. It's between them and the Holy Spirit. You know, you have done your work. Ezekiel 3:18-19. Look at what the Bible said. Very quickly. Please put it in this message translation because the message is very fine. Please quickly. Ezekiel 3:18-19. Oh, there's no 18. If I say to the wicked, you are going to die, and you don't sound the alarm warning them that it's a matter of life or death, they would die, and it will be your fault. I will hold you responsible. Modern day English is very good. But if you warn the wicked and they keep right on sinning anyway, they will most certainly die for their sin, but you won't die. You will have saved your life. I've told you, go and warn them, go and warn them, go and warn them, go and warn them. That's why you see that we are very challenged. It's not, if you see, human beings will burn on. It's not a small matter. Wow. I mean, a human judge sitting in his judgment seat is difficult to deceive with any kind of whatever evidence, something with just no. I saw one judge after the expert they brought, they have cross-examined, and it looked like the person was going to be, the defendant was going to be jailed. The judge stood and started cross-examining the policeman himself. The job that the lawyer could not do. He cross-examined the policeman, and the policeman raised his hand and said, I was lying to let this person go to prison. Even human judges, they are truth machines. Imagine the Lord, before whom everything is naked. No, when you get there now, you won't say anything. You will just play. You now, you raise your hand. And you just pass your somewhere because everything will be very clear. There is an eternity for us. Hebrews 9:27 says, we are here and there is a crossing over. If you have opportunity to warn a wicked person to move away from this, and you don't do it, he said, their blood will be on your head. If they die. Hey, so at this time, go check your account. How many have died on your account.
You are there. I remember I told you the story before. I was in second year or so in the secondary school. I was a day student. I closed eyes. I was sleeping when the Holy Ghost just tapped me, probably woke me up. And then he sent me. Duas and Olympus were playing in Cape Coast. When I went to the stadium, I saw this, my JSS schoolmate. He was also called Francis. I was holding tract. I went straight to him. He was playing table tennis at the stadium. And I said to him, Francis, you know, you need to give your life to Christ. I was disturbing, sir. He told me he's in the boys' brigade. He plays drum in church. I should use words on me, swore on me. Because we are all in secondary school. In 1 month, then they poisoned him and he died. When he was dying, it was a Friday night. The mother was a top nurse. He was crying that they should look for me. They looked for me everywhere in my house. I was also attending an all night. 2 weeks after, from another all night, I saw a lot of my JSS mate around his house area. I didn't know he was there. So I came out from the car. I said, hey, why is everybody here? Is it that our group, they are doing something that they didn't come? I said, Francis is there though. I said, cool. Then one of the cousins says, because the mother liked me. I went to see him and said, your friend was just calling you. Where are you? Where? He wants to speak to you, manana. He wants to speak to me. I told the mother, I said, I was telling him all. Not knowing as I was telling Wednesday, by the following week now, they had poisoned him. Just into one kind life, you know, boys, or more pretty girls. So we're wasting them. But I was so sure that I had done my bit, preaching to him, trying to lead him to Christ. That Franco, we used to call him Milo. Yeah, that time the Milo advert had come. But the guy was coming to school with a lot of money. And we know that money was illegal money. So we used to call him Milo, Milonia. We just said, Milo, pa, 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 song. Milonia, illegitimate Milonia. Please, let's rise. Let's rise. Charlie, we thank God that you are not the one that needs salvation now. But even if you have been saved, there's still pressure on you. It's the pressure. That's why that Corinthians we read, the verse before, Paul said that we are laboring so hard because we know what is at stake. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you go home, take time and read it. Can you talk to somebody briefly there? It's like we are all in trouble some way, somehow. Because we've got work to do. Brother, talk to her, talk to her, talk to her. Talk to her. We have a lot of work to do. This morning we are going to name a baby. Is this one no pressure now? No pressure. Even if we didn't name the baby in church, it's no problem. If you miss having Jesus, or make people miss having Jesus, that one is a serious matter. You may never have the opportunity to see America, but as for the judgment seat of Christ, if you don't like cry, they will come and carry you and go say, bruh, come and see. Very beautiful throne, condemning. My brother, you have been very good to me, and you are a good man. I have to see you in heaven. I beg you, don't miss it. Imagine the way Flora has been singing, Tansy has been singing, Eshi has been singing, Nay has been singing. Hey, then we go to heaven and they are not part of the choir. Hey, Wow. Who will sing Hosanna adoration? Who will sing God Almighty? Do you have Jesus? Tanzi, are you sure you have Jesus? So now you understand when the Bible says that don't marry an unbeliever. It's a very serious matter. Because you can take it lightly, because you think in your mind, earth is what is. It's not just earth, though. There is life beyond. I think we didn't put the Hebrews there. It's there. Let's read this one. One, go. For then must he often have suffered. No, please, 27. 9:27. Yeah. Shall we read together? One, go. And as it is what? Appointed unto men once to die. But, say but. Don't run. That's what you are running too much. Don't run. Stop running. When people want to, you know, deal with their fear, and you just it's sharp. It's not, this is not, you see, I'm not, this preaching is not meant to make you afraid. It's just to reveal the reality of eternity to us. And now that we have opportunity, that's what Paul was saying. He said that we urgently work with everyone we meet. If there's any time you should be preaching this message, this is the time, because you have opportunity whilst alive. But after this, after what? After the death. It's not the end of the matter. After death is not the end of the matter. After death, there is, he didn't say judgment. He said the judgment. There is the judgment. We are going for the, in fact, when you die, but we are going for the judgment. We are not going for singing rehearsals. It's judgment we are going for. When I keep telling you, I say, you see me, I'm not emotional to some of the things that people are emotional. Because the thing is too clear and is too serious that I cannot be receiving it with emotions. This is my real future. Eternity is beckoning. The judgment is waiting. It's like going to school and you are fooling. Exam timetable will come. And if you are not ready, it's not the reason why they will postpone the exam. There is the judgment. I pray that we will not miss it. I pray that people in our offices will not miss it. Are you here at all? I pray that the people we love will not miss it. Pray that people we care for will not miss it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Please, can you lift up your hand right now? I want you to thank God for the word you have heard. I want you to talk to God. Shakopa haselepe hese. Labako shebretoka. Talk to the Lord.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.